Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming to my presentation. My name is Rory. I work for Datacom doing Microsoft identity stuff, ADFS, Azure Active Directory, ACS, ADEL, WIF. I don't do much FIM stuff, but pretty much cover the rest of the Microsoft stack. I'm the PTSP for Azure Identity for Microsoft in Auckland, and I also help run the user group for .NET out on the North Shore. If you're on the shore and you want to come, please look us up on Meetup. Before I start, just to gauge the level of experience, how many people here actually use Azure Active Directory? So quite a few of you. How many of you actually configure Azure Active Directory? So a few. And how many of you actually do dev with Azure Active Directory? So a small handful. That's okay. So the key message that I'd like you all to take away from this presentation today, we've got a lot to get through, so I thought what we'd do is we'd talk a little bit about the protocols, because the protocols are what underlie everything that Azure Active Directory does in terms of authentication. We'll talk about some of the use cases and what protocols are applicable to those use cases. We'll have a look at OWIN, Open Windows Interface for .NET, ADEL, Active Directory Authentication Library, WIF, Windows Identity Foundation. We'll have a look at the Access Panel, which lets you get to all the software as a service applications. Quite a few things I'm not going to have time to cover. I'm not going to cover any of the syncing, so I'm not going to be talking about DirSync or AD Sync or AD Connect. There was a session yesterday that went through that in quite a lot of detail. I'm not going to be covering multi-factor authentication, because again, there was a session yesterday that covered that. And I'm not going to be talking about the Azure Active Directory proxy, because that's kind of like an hour-long talk on its own. If you look at Azure AD by the numbers, at the moment 86% of Fortune 500 companies are using it. It manages identity for over 5 million organizations. It's done over 1 trillion authentications in the 3 years that it's been out there. And if you look on the bottom right, it says 1 billion authentications every day. The latest figures are it's doing more than 10 billion authentications every single week. A lot of that, of course, is driven by Office 365, because Office 365 sits on top of Azure Active Directory. But there is quite a lot of, you know, software as a service and Salesforce and all those kind of things as well. We'll go and look at some of the protocols. So in the beginning, Microsoft saw the need for a federation protocol. They built a product, ADFS, which would handle this. The protocol that they introduced is called AWS Federation, and it underlies the whole of the Microsoft stack. So SharePoint, CRM Dynamics, Office 365, Intune, they all use AWS Federation. Unfortunately, it came out of time when Microsoft was the closed shop, it was the evil empire. None of the rest of the world wanted to borrow the stuff. So they all went with a protocol called SAML-P, P for protocol, because we also have SAML tokens. So Java, open source, PHP, the rest of the world all went on the SAML track. Under the hood, though, they're doing pretty much the same things. They're doing enterprise federation, and they use a browser to do this. Now, that was fine 10 years ago when that was the landscape. It was browsers, it was enterprise. Of course, now what's happened is we've got the new kid on the block, which is mobile and native devices and things. These protocols do not work for that kind of scenario, because most mobile applications don't have a browser. So we now have OAuth. OAuth is an authorization protocol. It's a consent protocol. You go to Facebook, it says, this application would like access to your name, your friends, you consent, and you go to the application. It is not an authentication protocol. And so what happened is people wanted to use it. They wanted to authenticate. So people like Facebook, Google, Twitter, they built their own authentication APIs on top of OAuth. The problem was that they all did it differently, right? There's no standards. Everyone did it in a different way. As a dev, trust me, it was a nightmare, because they were all different, different standards, different APIs, different scopes. The industry decided that this was not going to work. So the industry got together and built a protocol that sits on top of OAuth called OpenID Connect. And OpenID Connect does the authentication piece, and OAuth does the authorization piece. Now, obviously, all these protocols need to go somewhere. So in Azure Active Directory, we have a group of endpoints, and this is the endpoints that Azure Active Directory currently supports. So we have the federation metadata. What is the metadata? You need things like URLs. You need things like certificates. You need to know where it's coming from, where it's going to. Instead of having 1,000 different documents, what we do is we put it all in the metadata. It's a big XML document, and enterprise swap the metadata. So one piece of collateral instead of a whole pile. We obviously have the federation sign-on endpoint. SAML has two. It's got a sign-on and a sign-out. We have a Graph API endpoint. What do we use the Graph API for? The Graph API in Azure Active Directory does exactly the same thing as LDAP does in Azure Directory, in Active Directory, sorry. So it's the way we get attributes out of Azure Active Directory. And in OAuth, we have two endpoints. We've got a token endpoint, and we've got an authorized endpoint. And I'll show you how we use those endpoints a little bit later. I thought we'd have a quick look at the protocols. So if you're looking at the Y, you'll kind of identify what's going on. WS Federation, everything starts with a W. So we've got a sign-in. This means, you know, sign-in request, obviously. The realm, this is the application. Context that I want to pass backwards and forwards. And the time that we're going to do it. What comes back is a big SAML token. It's a big XML document. And in it, it's got who issued it, where it's going to, it's signed, it's got a certificate, public certificate, so you can verify the signature, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, how long the token is going to last. But the most important thing is that it contains a set of claims, a set of assertions, a set of attributes, whatever you want to call it. So you can see in this particular SAML token, we've got an attribute of department with a value of ES. That's what SAMLP looks like. As you can see, the SAML request is gobbledygook. It's Base64 encoded, and there's a whole lot of utilities up on the internet that can decode it for you. Fiddler decodes it very nicely, by the way, if you go to the text wizard. I see people posting this on the internet and saying, my SAML doesn't work, please help. Be very careful, because people can decode what's there, and sometimes what's in there is like proprietary, and maybe stuff you don't want to let out. So decode it first, blur out the pieces, and then submit it to a forum and ask for help. There's a relay state, which we use for the session. It can be signed in a number of ways. That tells you how it's signed, and that's the actual signature. Again, from SAML, we get back a SAML token. OAuth is much simpler, because remember, this is for native devices. This is for mobile. We don't want to clog up that bandwidth. So we've got an authorize, so we start off with an authorize. OAuth has four profiles. One of them is called authorization code grant. That's telling it that we want to use that particular profile. We have a client ID, and you will be looking in Azure Active Directory, and you'll see where we get that from. We have the redirect URI to tell OAuth this is where you go back to, and this is the resource that's actually doing the work. So how does that kind of token dance work in OAuth and OpenID Connect? So we use the authorize endpoint to ask Azure Active Directory to give us an access token. We take the access token and we send it on the token endpoint. We get the token, and then we use the resource. Azure Active Directory gives us access to whatever it was, a web API, SharePoint, whatever. Now, there's three kinds of OAuth tokens. There's the access token, which is you get the first time from the authorize endpoint. It's got basic stuff in its scopes. We've got the OpenID token, which is a little bit more identity-centric. And we've got the refresh token. So what does the refresh token do? These tokens expire. If you're sitting on a device and the token expires, you're going to have to re-authenticate. That is not a good user experience. So what you do, you get the refresh token under the hood. You send the refresh token back. You get a new access token. You go for another hour or whatever. Much nicer user experience. The user's not even aware that this is happening. And underneath, you see the OAuth token. You can see it's JSON, and that's the whole token. It's much simpler than the big SAML XML token. We have things like audience, issuer, when it was issued at, when it's going to expire, and we have two claims within it. We have email and we have UPN. Much simpler, much quicker, doesn't need anywhere near the same bandwidth or the same resources. What kind of use cases does Azure Active Directory cater for? So these are some authentication scenarios. We've got the old browser going to a web application, maybe a web API. We've got native apps. What are native apps? Native apps are what Microsoft call non-browser-based applications. So desktop, WPF, mobile, server. And we've got web APIs calling web APIs. You can call web APIs in the context of the user who authenticated or in the context of the application. Now, if I then take those protocols that we've just been through and we overlay those protocols on top of the authentication scenarios, what we see is that. So top left, the old Enterprise Federation, that's where you get WS Federation, that's where you get SAML, bit of OpenID Connect. The rest of the landscape, it's all OAuth. So OAuth very much, in terms of the wider world, is taking over. Enterprise is still around, companies will still use it, that's not going to go away. But OAuth is really, you know, the new kid on the block is just bullying his way around and taking everything. Now, how do I, as a developer, get the stuff to work for me? So if you've got Visual Studio 2013 or Visual Studio 2015, when you open a new project, you'll see down the bottom it says change authentication. Now, at the moment, it's telling you that it's an individual user account. Okay, we don't want that, because an individual user account is something like ASP.NET Identity. We want organizational accounts. We want a tenant. So what we do is we put in our domain, something.onmicrosoft.com. We pick an access level. I just want to do single sign-on. I want to read the attributes. I want to write the attributes. We click OK. It then asks us to authenticate, because just to prove that we do own that tenant. And, sorry, let me just go off that slide. What happens now is Visual Studio will go over to Azure Active Directory. It'll create an application for us. It'll set up client IDs and all kinds of things. It'll bring that information back to your project. It'll put it all in the web.config for you. And then it'll write little code snippets that use the web.config to do basic OAuth stuff. So if you just hang on here. I just need to go back. Okay, so it's done all for you. You don't have to write any code. You just have to write the business logic. Now, this is a really important slide, because when I talk to people and help them, this is where people get very confused. So I've talked about the protocols, WS Federation, SAML, OAuth, OpenID Connect. OWEN, WIF, and ADEL are not protocols. They are the wrappers around the protocols. And if you kind of keep that slide in your head, that makes a whole lot more sense when you start reading blogs and things. They all do different things. OAuth does the whole stack, right? So pretty safe OWEN does the whole stack. WIF only does WS Federation, because that's the first that came out, WIF 1.0, .NET 3.5. And it was designed for Microsoft, and they do WS Federation. ADEL is for the modern world, the OAuth world, and that does OpenID Connect and OAuth. So if you just kind of keep that slide in the back of your mind, everything will probably make a whole lot more sense. All right, let's go. Just see what the time is. Okay, let's just go and have a look at Azure Active Directory. So here's my tenant. Sorry, I've got to switch the slide. Yep, there we go. All right, I click on applications. Just have to wait for the internet. The application that I want is over here. This is the one we're going to be having a look at the code. It's that one. If I go and look on configure, so by the way, down here's the endpoint, so that's where I got that slide from. what we'll see here is we've got a URL. We've got a client ID that Azure Active Directory generated for us, so you don't have to worry about that. And that's what we saw in the OAuth protocol. We see an app ID URI and the reply URL to where to go back to. And we have permissions. So if I want to give this application access to a web API, I'd add it over here. You can see that this application only has permissions to read and write and do single sign-on. You can do all of this yourself. There's no magic. It's just a lot easier to let the tool do it for you. But as I say, you can do it all yourself. Now, if we go and look at a bit of Visual Studio, so we can see that, yeah. Let me blow it up a little bit for you. If we go and look at the web.config in this Visual Studio project, which is doing OpenID Connect, over here, let's blow that up for you. You'll see we've got the client ID, we've got the redirect URL, et cetera, et cetera. So that is all the stuff that it was built in for you by the project. If we go and look in startup.auth, we'll see at the top there's a whole lot of stuff, get my parameters out of the web.config. And then we see the actual OWN OpenID Connect code. Now, the thing about OWN is that originally we had ASP.NET and we had IIS, and there were these huge monolithic structures, and you got everything. Right? You had no choice about what you were going to do. With OWN, it's very much an opt-in kind of thing. You say, I want this piece, I want this piece, I want this piece, and you chain them all together. What normally happens with OWN is you stack them vertically, but OWN does allow you to stack them horizontally, so there would be nothing stopping you having an application that had some pages that used AWS Federation and some pages that used OAuth, which you couldn't do in the WIF kind of model. So we've got, right, let's do some cookie stuff because we use cookies for authentication. We're going to use OpenID Connect authentication. We're going to have some options, and if we look at the options, again, we're seeing client ID and authority and redirect URI, and you've seen all those in the directory and in the protocol. And that's basically it. That's all we need to do. It then goes off and does the authentication, asks us for a username and password, and then we're into the application. So imagine that you're a developer and you've just done something for your company that uses this OpenID Connect. And it's a Friday, you're going live on the Monday, and it's all working. You're going skiing, going to have a fantastic weekend. And then your boss comes in and says, I've got some bad news for you, man. And you say, what? Security won't allow us to use OAuth. We've got to use Federation. They've just decided. So, seriously, kind of think about that skiing holiday. Well, actually, it's not that hard. So what we do over here is we go and we download the NuGet package for AWS Federation. We go over here, if it comes up, use AWS Federation. Over here, we've got some options. So we'll try. There's our options. Fantastic. All right, I just put this WIF stuff in to save me typing. So obviously, we want WIF options, and we don't want OAuth options because different protocol. Sorry. And over here. And that's it. Pretty much done. So maybe you are going skiing after all. It's really not that hard. It's just the standard model, different protocols, and they all follow that. Really simple pattern. If we go and look at that application, so I've got all my applications in IIS. I'm not using Express. I find Express doesn't work very well with authentication, especially with SSL. If we go and look at that project, which is this one over here, all right, I've already authenticated. I don't want to watch me authenticating all day. All right, so over here, sign in. Yeah, maybe it is going to ask me to authenticate. Okay, I don't actually know the passwords because I've got a little password manager, so bear with me. So this one. Hopefully that will sign us in. Yes, now I've changed the contact page to display the claims that we get back. So from Azure Active Directory, the claims are canned, right? It's not like ADFS where you've got claims rules. This is what you get. There are some things we can add to it that we'll look at a little bit later on. But what we see over here, we're seeing a whole lot of OAuth claims because, remember, this is OpenID Connect. This is OAuth. If we go a little bit further down, we'll see basic things like my name's Rory and my surname's Braybrook. But what's missing here, and what's really important for what most of you are going to be doing, is the groups, the roles. They aren't there because in the canned ADFS token, they're missing. And I'll show you a way that we can get around that. Now, this was OpenID Connect, and this was Owen. Let's go and look at a project that does WIF. So WIF was the old way when Microsoft first started this. You're kind of thinking Visual Studio 2010 kind of era. Now, WIF, unlike Owen, which is code, as you've just seen, WIF plugs into the ASP.NET pipeline. So there isn't a lot of code. It's all in the web.config. So if I just blow this up a little bit. All right, we go up to the top. Okay, and you'll see. Yeah. You'll see down here. That up a little bit for you. Over here, we've got the two modules that plug into the pipeline, WS Federation Authentication and the Session Authentication. Okay, if we go down a little bit further, we'll see a whole lot of other stuff that you have to put in. Let me just blow that up for you. You see things like, that's my ADFS server because I'm using Federation here. That's the thumbprint that I need. Whole lot of stuff in the web.config, and this is why WIF has kind of not so popular anymore, because the web.config is quite complicated. Owen is a lot simpler, but it works. There's a lot of people out there using it. I still do a lot of work with customers for WIF. If we go and look in the browser at what we, and it's this one here, right, so I've logged in. If I go and look on that page, again, you'll see there's no OAuth. There's just a set of claims. Okay, because this is using WS Federation. Okay, it's just standard stuff, no OAuth. Okay, so if I just switch back again, and hopefully it's that one. Yes. So we've done the lap around it. We did the OpenID Connect. We did the WS Federation. We've done that one. All right, let's have a look at kind of a little more detailed difference between Owen, and I'm talking about the Owen identity models here, and WIF. So let me just check on the time. Yeah. So OpenID, WIF. Owen is the new kid on the block, supports everything. This is where Microsoft is putting all the work. This is where all the WYSI stuff's going to be. WIF, it's supported. It's kind of locked in stone. They fix bugs if you report them. Not doing any work on it. You can think about Owen as MVC and WIF as Forms. You know, Forms is still around, but everyone uses MVC. You want to go look at authentication samples, authentication blogs. They don't talk about WIF anymore. They talk about Owen. Owen supports everything. It supports WS Fed, OpenID Connect, and OAuth. They're standard Microsoft NuGet packages. There's a community package for SAMLP, which I haven't used yet, but it is there. WIF only supports WS Federation. Microsoft did bring out a CTP for SAML, a community technology preview. For some reason, it died. It never got any bugs fixed. Nothing ever happened with it, and then one day all the files just disappeared from the internet, so it's gone. Owen, as you saw, is invoked by code. WIF is invoked by the ASP.NET pipeline. Change authentication button gives you very easy way to develop with 2013 and 2015. There's nothing in those two Visual Studios that does that web.config stuff that you had a look at. You can either go and find an old project if you happen to be lucky enough to have used WIF and just merge them, or you can go and find Visual Studio 2010, which had a really nice utility called FedUtil, or Visual Studio 2012, and that utility's name was the Identity and Access Tool. And they generate the web.configs, and you can use that in your project. Owen is obviously a JSON token, WIF's an XML token. The namespace is Microsoft Owen, system identity model if you're using .NET 4.5, or Microsoft.identity model if you're still using 3.5. Okay, so we've talked about Owen, and we've talked about WIF, and now suddenly we've got this new thing, ADEL. So why do we need ADEL? Well, the clue's in the name, Open Windows Interface for .NET. Okay, what happens if you don't use .NET? So that's where ADEL comes into the picture. So this was the mission statement that Microsoft released when they started doing all this ADEL work. Help developers to take advantage of Azure Active Directory for enabling client applications to access protected resources. It's got a whole raft of SDKs. It's got iOS, Android, JavaScript, Windows Store, Windows Phone, you name it, it's there. It does a whole lot of the work for you. Remember we talked about the refresh tokens? You don't have to worry about coding that stuff with ADEL because it's there in the library. If it sees a token's going to expire, it does the refresh stuff for you. It has a whole lot of asynchronous support. It's the basis of the Graph API, the one that you use to get attributes, and it's the basis of the Azure Management Library. So that's the library, the APIs that sit behind the Azure portals. And best of all, it's on GitHub. It's open source, and if you're interested, go and have a look. All right, so we know with that little bit of Owen code, this is ADEL code. So now you know where to get the client ID from. You know about the authority, something.onmicrosoft.com, the URI, that's your application. And we see this kind of keyword, authentication context, and that kind of screams out to you, this is ADEL. So we're doing an authentication context, we get a result, and the result is some kind of an acquiring of a token. There's a number of methods to acquire the token, but they all give the same thing, they all give you a token. Okay, let me swap over here. If we now go and look at this project. So this project down here in the web.config, this is a project that does a web API in the background, but I'm not going to show you that. Over here, you'll see that's the endpoint of the Graph API. Remember we saw that on the endpoint at the beginning? So this is what we're going to be using. If we go and look in the user profile controller, over here, again, we get stuff out the web.config. Let me just blow that up for you. All right, so what we're doing over here, we've got an authentication context, which I've already showed you. We're going to do the acquire token, which I've showed you. And down here, we're taking the access token. It's a type of a bearer token. We're putting it in the authorization header, and we're sending it off, and that gives us access to the resource. So that's pretty much it. That's what ADEL does. That's obviously .NET, but it's the same code on all those SDKs that I showed you. And they all go to the Graph API or whatever you want to do with it. We go and look at that particular project, which is this one over here. And there's two pages here. The first one is the profile page. So if I've done this to actually show you what's coming back from the Graph API. So it's a JSON document, a huge document. Come on. Speak to me. What's happening? Why is it not connecting? Oh, there we are. I don't know what's happening there. Okay, we sign in. No, something's going wrong here. you look on the profile page, what we see here, maybe, okay, is I'll blow that up for you. You can see we sing a whole lot of different stuff. We sing city and preferred language and usage location. Those were not in that canned claim. That's because this is using ADEL to go to the Graph API to get the attributes out of Azure Active Directory. If we go and look in the context, whereas we've got the normal claims, again, we've got the OAuth claims, we've got the normal claims, but down here, we've actually got something quite interesting. We've got the thing I was telling you that was missing before. We've got groups. So those are the groups in Azure Active Directory, and I'll show you how we do that. But you'll notice a small problem with this. The names of these groups are not English. They're GUIDs. So good luck with going to your help desk and saying, hey, you know, Bob's got access to group 7E61821. You know, how about me? Because you're never going to remember this number. Okay, so Azure Active Directory uses GUIDs. That's the whole way it's chained together. And that's because it's a kind of a graph setup. Okay, so how did I do that? And we get back to the world of the Azure Active Directory, and I'll show you. So that project is this one here, To-Do List Web App. So we'll just go in here. Now down here, you'll see this little thing called Manage Manifest. Now manifest is the way that you do stuff when there's no PowerShell to do it and when it hasn't made it into the actual portal. And it's kind of a black art. So if we click on the manifest and we say download manifest, right, let's have a look. And we click open. What we're going to see is a JSON document. And over here, if I just blow that up for you, we'll see group membership claims, and I've put in there security group. Now, the other one that didn't display the roles or the groups had null there. So I've gone in here. It's just a text editor. I change it to security group. I upload the manifest, and that's how it works. But, there's always a but. It uses GUIDs, which makes things interesting. So how do you, as a developer, make any sense of this stuff? Because it's not English. And the answer to that is you use a little tool that Microsoft developed called the Graph Explorer. Just check on the time. Okay. So we're going to use our sign-in to our standard tenant. If we click Get here, what you're going to see is a bug. You have to know what to get. So if I say Get and I type in users, for example, what it does, it gets a big JSON document and it downloads it for us, maybe. Okay, and it's just all the stuff. If I blow this up for you, you'll see here we have a user over here. Sorry, and we have the object. Why is this not working for me? And we have the object ID there. So you can use the Graph Explorer to go into Azure Active Directory, search for the group name, your English group name, and it will have the GUID, and that's the GUID that you need to do if you want to do any work for it. So it does quite a lot of neat stuff. If you go up here, when I find my mouse, and we just take users out now, what you'll see here is it tells you all the kinds of things that you can do. It's got like a little bit of IntelliSense, so users, service principles, context, tenant details, directory roles. There's a whole lot of stuff there that you can get out the Graph API. You can have a look at the objects. You can see what the English names are, and you can get the GUIDs and anything else that you want out of it. Sorry. So we're doing on time. All right, so we've done that. Here. We swapped. So we've done that. We've done the Graph API. We've done ADEL. We've done groups. What about social? Social is pretty big these days. I saw the other day LinkedIn had got 1 billion authentications or 1 billion users in a single day, which is like, wow. Facebook, yes. So in the beginning, before Azure Active Directory came along, we had a thing called ACS, Access Control Services, and this was Azure Active Directory before Azure Active Directory came along. And what did it do? It did federation, so you could federate this with anything. These days, you can federate it with Azure Active Directory. It did Facebook. It did Windows Live. It did Google, and it did Yahoo. Now, that's what it did 5 years ago, because that's when I first got started with this stuff. That's still what it does today. That page hasn't changed in 5 years. There's all kinds of allusions on the internet to where is ACS going? Is it going to be part of Azure Active Directory? What's Microsoft's Azure Active Directory policy with social? There is social, and we'll see that now, but that's on the back end of Azure. That's in the software as a service. It doesn't really help you as a developer when you want an app and you want people to use a Facebook login kind of directly. You can use it if this is what you want, and most people like Facebook, and this does Facebook. But what happens if you want to offer far more interesting, shall we say, user experience? And the answer to that is you use identity as a service. So there's a number of these out there. One Logon, Okta, this is Auth0. There's a whole ton of stuff there. This is about a third of their social logons. I can't fit them all on the slide. You federate Auth0 with Azure Active Directory. You now have all of that you can offer to your users as well. There's a whole lot there. I don't even know what they do, but it's really easy. The green ones are the ones that I've ticked. That's what the user gets access to. So the user gets a choice of Salesforce or Google or LinkedIn or whatever. There's a whole lot of them out there, but that's how you have to do it at the moment. I have spoken to people at Microsoft. They are definitely doing something because they kind of use words like non-disclosure and we can't tell you that and it's under embargo. So something's definitely happening, but I have no idea what it is. Everything we've done up to now, we've kind of been on this side of Azure. We've been as a user, as a browser. But there's a whole nother world on the back end of Azure, and that's the software as a service stuff. Okay, so if we go and have a look at using Azure Active Directory as the kind of IDP, there's a gallery, which we're going to have a look at, and there's a whole range of applications in there, and there's wizards that allow you to easily hook them up and do single sign-on to them. If you've got an application that isn't in the gallery, I'll show you a way you can add it. Those two are for people that use federation, mainly SAML. Some of it is AWS Federation. But there's a whole lot of applications out there. Twitter's a really good example, where they don't use federation. They use a username and password. Okay, that's a different kind of flow, but we can do that, and I'll show you. And then you've got the standard federation. I can use something like OpenAM or Ping Identity, Ping Federate, Shibboleth, Simple SAML, PHP, ADFS, the whole range, and they all just federate with ADFS. Okay, so we'll go and have a look at how that looks like. Have I got it up there? Yeah. So if I go off to the good old Azure portal, click on applications, and down here you'll see this add button. Right, so now I get three options. Add an application my organization is developing. That's something your company is developing. You're going to deploy it to Azure, you know, right click, publish. That's the kind of, that's that scenario. The next one is add an application from the gallery. So this is all these software as a service applications that we're going to look at. And the third one is publish an application that will be accessible from outside your network. Now, that one is what invokes the workflow that enables Azure Active Directory proxy. So that's how you get down that whole path, and we're not going to do that today. So if I click on add an application from the gallery, I suddenly see a whole raft of ones. There's over here, there's 2,504 at the moment. I think when I was doing this prep the other day, there was 2,501. It keeps increasing. And there's quite a few here. You might recognize this one. Not that one, because I can't spell. So zeros there. So you just go through this. You pick one. It takes you into Wizard. The Wizard's different for every application because each application is slightly different. They want different information. And at the end of it, you're going to get software as a service. What happens if it's not there? Because there's quite a lot of stuff out there that isn't. But you can always ask Microsoft to add it. There's a page on the internet you can go and fill out. So we have this page here called Custom. So we go to the Custom page. It asks us for some information, and then it'll take us through a wizard where we have to supply the information. Okay, I'm not going to take you through that because I've got one that's already there. I've done a lot of integrations with Salesforce, and so I've got a Salesforce one here where I've actually done it manually rather than using the software as a service. So you wouldn't do this. You just go and do the normal one from the gallery. We've got the same three options. We've got Azure Active Directory sign-on, which is a federation kind of thing. We've got password single sign-on. That's the Twitter scenario, or the federation sign. So obviously you want the top one. All right, it says, okay, that's my Salesforce dev account. I click on that. And now you're kind of getting into a SAML-y world. We've got to download certificates. We've got metadata here. We have to put this into our SAML admin screen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a range of instructions here. These are pretty good instructions. If you follow that step by step, you'll be all right. And you know, you need to phone the company normally and have a bit of a chat, and it takes a while to get it working, but you get there in the end. Okay, so I've showed you how we do it, but how do you actually use it? You as a user, how do you use this stuff? And the answer for that one, if I just go back here, is we use the access panel. So this is myapps.microsoft.com. And what this does is it shows me as a logged-in user to Azure. You don't need a subscription for this, by the way. You just need to be a user in your tenant. If you just wait for... And this is the application. It shows me all the applications that my admin has given me access to. Okay? Each person could have a different access panel because each of you does different things. You can do this by groups, for example, by people. So you can see I've got some Office 365 stuff over here. I've got GitHub, Google Docs. Down here, I've got Salesforce. So if I click on Salesforce, and hopefully this will work. Watch closely, there's my Salesforce account. So now, as a user, access panel, Salesforce, I've got single sign-on. I've logged into Azure, logged into Salesforce. I don't have to type any credentials. That's pretty neat. What about something like Twitter? So if we go back to the access panel and I click on Twitter, what will happen here is it will take me to my Twitter account. Why is this such a compelling case for you as an organization? What I see every single day is I go to companies and they have a Twitter account and they use it to do corporate tweeting. And they have three or four people and a little spreadsheet and it's got the username and password on, and people use that to do corporate communication. And then, of course, Bob goes on holiday and he gives the spreadsheet to Alice, and Alice is going to be away for the day, so she gives it to Bill, and suddenly the spreadsheet is right across your organization. What happens if one of these people gets fired? They go home, they know the login, they know the password. They go to Twitter. This company is a dog, it's losing money. The CEO is a complete moron. The CFO is on Ashley Madison. This is not a good look, right? If you do it this way, the only person who knows the username and the password is the admin who set all that up. Everyone else, the admin puts into a Twitter group. If they're in the Twitter group, Twitter comes up on their access panel. They do their normal work, no problem. If they leave, you take them out the group, you take them out of Azure Active Directory, you take them out of AD, and AD syncs up to Azure Active Directory, gone, no problem. Really compelling. That kind of thing. A lot of the people that I give these demos to, they really start to see the value of this. Okay. If we go and look over here, because one of the questions that people ask me is, yeah, I like the Twitter bit. I'm not a big fan of the access panel. Is there a way that I could put a link on for some people? They see a little link on their page. You know, without going near the access panel. And you can do that if you go into Twitter, and you go into the dashboard. Right, so it's the same for all these applications. You go into the dashboard over here when it comes up. And down the bottom, you'll see single sign-on URL. Okay, we'll take that. We'll put that into the browser. So you'll see this has got a GUID at the end of it. I can do that one. So now I haven't gone anywhere near the access panel. And through that link, you have to authenticate, obviously, if you haven't authenticated yet. We get to Twitter again. So you don't have to use the access panel. It's just a really nice way of, this is all your software as a service applications. Now, what about Office 365? You know, I like this, but I also do Office 365. What can you do for me then? So Office 365 also has an access panel, and that is at portal.office.com, my apps. If we look at that page, what it does, it loads. How are we going on the time? It loads all the Office stuff, which is fantastic. And down the bottom, you have all the access panel stuff, all those nice, simple things that we saw previously. So there's a nice experience. We've got software as a service, managed by groups, managed by users. It's all pretty much there. Okay. So I think that's... We're actually running a bit fast here, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay, if I switch it over. Yeah. Now, I don't do any Node.js work, but I thought I'd just put it in here just for those devs who do. In Node.js, there's a kind of authentication library called Passport. They've put them all together called Password Azure ID, and that's combining all the Node.js authentication modules or libraries or whatever you want to call them. It includes OpenID Connect, AWS Federation, SAMLP, and you can integrate it all with Microsoft Azure Active Directory. So I don't know, I don't use Node, but it's just there. Some of you may find that useful. Now we get to Windows 10. Now, I had a little demonstration to show you, Windows 10, and it had face recognition and all that good stuff. And then I went to the keynote, and I watched Catherine do my demonstration on the screen to all of you. So, yeah, there goes my demonstration. So, just to reiterate what she said, you get a Windows 10 PC, you AD join it, you go system about, it comes up, you join it, type in your credentials and all that kind of stuff. My Windows 10 PC says disconnect because I've already AD joined it. If I then go into Azure Active Directory under my user, I click on devices, you'll see it says AAD joined. What does it actually mean? That means me as a user going to my Windows 10 PC, I log in, I get access to my desktop, I get access to all my Azure applications, and I get access to all the applications that you saw in that access panel. So I log in once, and I've got access across the whole stack. So that's pretty cool. That's something they've been trying to put together for a long, long time. So that's Windows 10 AAD join. Okay, we're going well. I don't expect you to read that slide. That's an infographic, and the link is in the resources that are at the end. That pretty much gives you the whole Microsoft identity landscape. It's really worth taking a look at that. Like I said, I don't expect you to be able to read it from where you're sitting. Again, the key message that I'd like you all to take away. Some resources that I've put together. So we've obviously got the Azure blog. That Premier Field Engineering blog is a really useful one to look at because these are the guys that are in the field solving real problems. And they blog a lot about identity. They did a whole series of posts on ADFS. Some really good stuff there. You've got the Azure Directory team blog, anything that's happening in the Azure Directory space, and that includes the proxies, by the way, is there. We've got the Passport plugin. So what I should have mentioned is that Twitter logon, that login and password, the first time you do that, what it does is it downloads a little plugin for you, and after that you can use Access Panel. All the samples and all the demos that I did for you today come from the samples Azure Active Directory on GitHub. You can go and play with them. There's a whole lot more than the ones I showed you. I think I originally had 8 demos, but there's no way I could show you all 8. There's the infographic that I showed you. There's the Graph Explorer, and that's that tool that allows you to go and get all the GUIDs. Some Ignite sessions. So there was one yesterday that Mark did, which was the multi-factor and the multi-user and the syncing and everything. And there's one this afternoon about identity management in Office 365. So get along to those if the subject interests you. The standard resource slide that you've probably seen a million times. Please, please complete your session evaluations. Thank you for coming to my presentation. We've still got a bit of time for questions. Really appreciate that you came and shared my enthusiasm for Azure Identity. It's good to see you all. My name's Rory. That was Azure Active Directory Authentication. Go out there, enjoy the rest of Ignite, and thank you.